What are most people concerned with? The answer probably would be the here and the now. That was the philosophy of the rich farmer. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Luke 12:19. But notice God's reply, verses 20 and 21. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I want to be rich toward God, don't you? It's so sad to have to say this, but the majority of the world views gospel sermons and Bible lessons as boring, thinking it's a waste of their time because they could be doing something more entertaining. Look what the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, said to the Church of Christ at Corinth. Chapter 1 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish, foolishness. Notice, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. That's right. We want to appreciate the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Certainly we need to see it that way. Well, our question this morning we want to put before us all, where shall I be in eternity? We want to spend two Lord's days answering this question as we're going to look at hell and then, Lord willing, next week, heaven. These are the two possibilities as we want to study this further. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins and Father Morgan Street Church of Christ. We welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we know that PFE helps us to remember that as we go about our daily lives. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville, as yes, we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And then as we assemble together to worship God, what are we doing? We're striving to do so in a proper attitude. With a proper attitude, better say, that's in spirit, but also in truth, by staying with the pattern that God has given us in the New Testament. And I can assure you, you will receive a very warm welcome. Something else we want to mention, if you're interested in having a Bible study, please let us know. We'll set that up at your convenience. We have Bible correspondence courses available, and we're always glad to answer your Bible questions, and your comments are always appreciated, positive or negative. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, a very important announcement. Our gospel meeting begins this week, Friday night, September the 6th, 7 p.m. Saturday night, September the 7th, 7 p.m. Sunday the 8th, Sunday morning Bible class hour, 9:30. Sunday morning worship service hour, 10:30. Then a potluck lunch, which you're sure to enjoy. And closing out the gospel meeting at 1 p.m., yes, with Brother Tom House, a gospel preacher for the Plainview Church of Christ in Fulton, Mississippi, also in law enforcement, but he preaches the gospel in such a fine way, and I know that you'll be blessed in hearing him shuck the corn and putting it out where the calves can get it. So we look forward to seeing you with us, Lord willing, this Friday night. Now, let's get into our study concerning the question, where shall I be in eternity? And I want to start out with how our life here on the earth is a time of testing. You could put it this way. We're living in a soul-making environment. In other words, God gave us free moral agency, the right to choose whether we want to do His will or reject it. As you see in the patriarchal age, Genesis 2, 16, and 17, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Well, they could eat of all the other trees, but here's that test. Yes, one negative command, you're not to eat of this tree, and we know they did, and we know what happened. Sin, yes, came into the world, and so did death, suffering, as we know, of course, today, still is going on. Now, what about the Mosaic Age? Well, look at Deuteronomy 11, 26 through 28. "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse." Here's your choice. Shouldn't be difficult. "A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. But turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after," notice, little g, "other gods which ye have not known." They had a choice. The Christian age, we have a choice. 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." That's right. So, how we live in this life will determine where we shall be in eternity. God created us. Where did we come from, or what is our origin? Well, we know from the Scriptures that God created us in His own image, Genesis 1, 26. And we know God gave us a purpose in life. We're to fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, Ecclesiastes 12, 13. Well, what about the third most important question? Again, it's answered by the Word of God. Where am I going? What is my destiny? Well, there again, we need to understand that's going to be decided by how we live in this life. So, God votes for us, sacrificed His only begotten Son on the cruel cross of Calvary, John 3:16. Satan votes against us. He's our adversary. Wants to get us away from God. Uses the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life to get us away from doing the will of God. He votes against us. We cast the deciding vote. And we need to understand that. Now, as we study further in answering the question, where shall I be in eternity? Let's understand there are some basic situations to look at. Two classes of accountable people. Not difficult. Two classes of accountable people. Saved and lost. We're not talking about little babies. It's, of course, small children and mentally handicapped folks. They're safe in the arms of the Lord. We're talking about two classes of accountable people. Saved and lost. 2 Corinthians 2. 15 and 16, "For we are unto God a sweet savor," notice, "a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other savor of life unto life." Two situations here, two classes of accountable people. And notice, "And who is sufficient for these things?" Well, Let's go on. We're looking at twos. Two roads, or we could say two ways in life, narrow and broad. Matthew 7:13-14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. We better be of the few and not of the many. But there's two roads, two ways we can go in life. But let's go on. Two types of physical death for those who are accountable unto God. Death in the Lord or death in one's sins. John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Revelation 14:13, here's the other side. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. We want to be of those that die in the Lord, not dying in our sins, do we not? Here's another two classes of people of the resurrection: those who have done good and those who have done evil. John 5:28-29, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming into which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Well, I know where I want to be. What about you? Here's another two. Two groups of people at the day of judgment: sheep, yes, and goats, or righteous and wicked. Matthew 25:31-33. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. I know I want to be on the right hand. What about you? I imagine you would agree. You want to be on the right hand, do you not? Of course. Well, how we live is going to determine that, is it not? But let's go on. Two eternal destinies. Yes, this is another two. We're keeping it simple. Two eternal destinies: heaven or hell. It's one or the other. Matthew 25:46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. That's right. Where shall I be in eternity? Well, as we study these two destinies, let's realize that they are real places, and we will be in one or the other for eternity. Yes, our program, Preparing for Eternity, it's so vitally important. What's more important than doing just that? Making sure our eternal destiny is in heaven, not in hell, as we're going to study this morning. Number one, hell is the place of eternal punishment for those who die in their sins. When Christ comes again, all who are accountable will be judged by the law of Christ. Of course, we're under his law, the perfect law of liberty. And so, since adequate punishment is not given in this life, eternal punishment will be given to those who are lost. Now, some believe God's punishment comes upon people in this life because of their sins, like Job's friends, for example. Job, what did you do to cause all these sufferings coming upon you? They didn't realize Satan had been behind the scenes causing this, because he accused God of not being worthy to be faithful to. And so God allowed Satan to bring all those sufferings upon Job. And so that wasn't correct what they were thinking. But notice John 9, 1 and 2 as well. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus said neither. Well, that wasn't the case. Here's another example, Luke 13, 1 through 3. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. No, in other words. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Here's people dying because of Pilate. Yes, and a tower falls on people and kills them. You suppose they're greater sinners than the others? No, that's not the case. Now, we can understand that some people die because of sinful activities, yes. And some people have gotten venereal disease, their liver problems because of drinking, and on we could go as the results of sinful activity. But we're dealing here with God's punishment coming on people in this life because of their sins. And so we need to understand it is reasonable and just for God's punishment to be of a great duration. But now some, like the Jehovah's Witnesses and others, teach annihilation. You're going to be annihilated, not suffer for eternity. You're just out of existence. But what does the Bible say? Let's stay with the Word of God. We just read a moment ago, Matthew 25:46, the first part of the verse, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. That's not annihilation. 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, not annihilated. And we could give scripture after scripture, 2 Peter 3:7 and Hebrews 10:29 as well. How much sore punishment. So let's go on. I want us to cover this, and that is the word hell. In the Greek, it's Gehenna. We're not talking about Hades, the place of the dead. Once we die, we go to paradise if we're saved or safe, and if we're not, if we're lost, we go to the place of torment, awaiting the second coming, awaiting the day of judgment. So hell is yet to come for those who are lost, waiting the coming of the Lord. So notice the word Gehenna. It comes from the Valley of Hinnom. That's H-I-N-N-O-N. Hinnom. This was the place where evil kings like Ahaz, Manasseh, and Ammon sacrificed children. Oh, their offspring, the idol god Molech. Yes, passing them through the fire. Now, some rituals, they weren't killed in this ritual. But others were actually burned to death. 2 Chronicles 28:3, 33:6, 34:21 through 24. So the Jews came to despise this place, the Valley of Hinnom. And they made it into a garbage dump, which included dead animals and bodies of criminals. So fires were kept burning continually with the gas produced. You may have seen a landfill that's covered over, yet if something creates a hole and a fire starts, it's hard to get it out. It's like a butane lighter. Just keeps burning. I saw this in Memphis years ago. So the Jews understood about this valley. Now, this was south of the wall there in Jerusalem, the southern part of Jerusalem outside the wall. And this was, a garbage dump. And so they understood at the time of Christ that only with the exception of the Sadducees, that Gehenna meant the place of conscious and eternal punishment. Now, we have to be sure we understand there is a consciousness. There will be in hell. And it is, of course, eternal punishment. Number two, hell will be a place of everlasting burnings. Yes, unquenchable fire. Matthew 3:12, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the shaft with unquenchable fire. Now see also Mark 9:43 and 44 on this. But let's go on. Number three. Yes, it's better to be disabled in this life than to be in hell for eternity. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off, cast them from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It's better for thee to enter into the life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Matthew 18:8-9. And also Matthew 5:29-30. The point is here, we're not to maim ourselves, you know, and in cutting off an arm or a leg. No, what's the point Jesus is making? It's better to have a foot, a hand cut off than to be cast into hell for eternity, because it's everlasting fire, as we just talked about. So we need to understand it's better to be disabled in this life, not to be whole, but it's better to be maimed rather than being in hell for eternity. Certainly going to heaven, no matter how we've come through this physical life, is the point. And fear not them which kill the body but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Matthew 10:28. But let's go on. Number four, hell will be a place of outer darkness with weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25:28-30. Jesus said, take therefore the talent from him and give it to him. This was the one talent man. And give unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you could see Matthew 8:11-12, 22-13 also in this regard. It's a place of outer darkness with weeping and gnashing of teeth. No light. God is light. But of course in hell, God will not be there. A place of darkness and also gnashing, weeping and gnashing of teeth. But let's go on. Number five, hell will be a place without rest. Revelation 14:11. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. They have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whoso ever receiveth the mark of his name. Domitian was an emperor that demanded to be worshipped as a god. That may be a possibility there. But the point here is hell is a place without rest. Yes. Imagine no rest. I don't want to imagine that. It's unpleasant. But we need to preach this. Number seven, hell will be the eternal abode for the devil and his angels and those on the left hand which are not written in the book of life. Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. They followed his lead. He rebelled against God, and they were cast out of heaven. Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 20:15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Number 7, hell will have no babies or small children. Of course, we know the Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. Ezekiel 18:20. But let's go on. Time is fast approaching. Number 8, hell will be where the majority of the world will be for eternity. We looked at Matthew 7:13 and 14 already. Many there be which go in thereat. The broad way. Few there be that findeth the narrow way. Number 9, hell will be worse for those who had the truth, but are overcome by the pollutions of the world. 2 Peter 2:20 and 22, going through 22. Notice that they had escaped the pollutions of the world, but they were again entangled therein and overcome, and the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. They had the truth and left it, and going through eternity with that thought. Oh, number 10, hell will be a place of everlasting punishment for those who did not do the Lord's will. Matthew 7:21, we should know this. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many people think they're doing the will of God, but they are not according to the scriptures. It's according to feelings. We've got to be sure about this. As a gospel preacher, it's not my desire to see anyone lose their soul. I do not preach this type of sermon to condemn anyone, but to cause us to search our hearts and to be sure that we understand the truth and obey it. Where will I be in eternity? Where will you be? Hell is such a great contrast to heaven. If we've not thought seriously about our eternal destiny, it's not too late to begin right now. And we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel of Christ. Here's the good news. We can come out of our sins and be washed clean by the blood of Christ. We have to first hear the word. That's how our faith comes, Romans 10:17. And then we're ready to believe that Jesus is the Christ. That's certainly proven in the scriptures. That motivates us now to repent of our sins, making a change of wills and doing the will of God. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish, Luke 13:3. Now, having repented of our sins, changed our will, ready to do the will of God, we're going to make that good confession, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. And having made that good confession, Romans 10:9 and 10, now I'm ready to be immersed into a watery grave where I'm coming into contact with the precious blood of Christ that washes away my sins. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? That's right. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You see, that's how we're contacting the blood of Christ, shed in his death. And then the Lord will add us to his body, the true church. And we thank you so much for listening today.